seek help from a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. Call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK for information on how to assert your rights. Or visit CFP.net.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. As an area of low pressure aloft cruises across the southern Great Lakes, we're on the fringe of it, so it looks like the overnight hours will be generally quiet with a 4 in 10 risk of showers and 58 by morning. As we look at the afternoon Friday, 73 returns, slight chance of a shower under a mostly cloudy morning, but the afternoon will see a little sunshine. Saturday, thunderstorms back again, 71.
News Talk 620, WWNR. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620, WWNR.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's a beautiful Thursday evening here in Uptown Beckley. And I hope it sticks around for a little bit. Still holding out for that good rototilling weather comes Saturday. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And it's a special day. It's a special evening. Today in the United States Senate, my soul was revived. Today in the United States Senate, I saw senatorial procedure as it was intended by those great men who midwifed the birth of this great republic. Today in the Senate, I saw Robert C. Byrd stand up to a gang of bullies and thugs and put them in their place. Today in the United States Senate, I saw Robert C. Byrd deliver a civics lesson, a history lesson, and a Sunday school lesson to a gang of punks who know nothing about any of those three things. Today, perhaps more importantly, I saw Robert C. Byrd teach his Democratic colleagues what it means when you take that oath of office. Today in the United States Senate, I saw Senator Byrd's opposition, the high and mighty, high-handed, holier-than-thou, dissector of cats, profiteer on abortion, Bill Frist, tuck his filthy tail and run like the sorry cur he is in the middle of a debate. I saw Robert C. Byrd say, "Where is my opposition? Where is my opposition?" as that cur, Bill Frist, tried to slink away into some sleazy Republican back alley where he might lick his wounds. For Robert C. Byrd today didn't just make me proud. He made thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of West Virginians proud. And he did one of the other things that he is so good at. He made America proud of West Virginia for putting him in the United States Senate. holding a copy of the King James Bible. Robert C. Byrd told the story of Esther and how the king sought, by virtue of the evil work of an evil man named Haman, the elimination of an entire people. Just as these godless, God-forsaken, God-blaspheming Republicans seek the elimination of reasoned discourse and discussion in the United States Senate, just as these godless, God-forsaken Republicans seek to tear down the traditions and rules of a Senate that has in every time prior to this been comprised of men and women 1,000 times better than any member of the Republican majority that now defames that noble house. Today, Robert C. Byrd called the Republicans out. Today, Robert C. Byrd made a great number of Americans proud, made Americans glad, gave renewed faith to citizens of this republic who had lost faith, who had seen go-along, get-along Democrats who didn't understand the vile brute force with which the Republican Party tries to exercise power over the Senate. Today, Robert C. Byrd taught the men and women of his own party what it means to be a senator. And that sick, pusillanimous Bill Frist. And that great, proud, noble patrician, Robert C. Byrd, not even responding, flicking him away as one would a dung-laden fly with the flip of his wrist. Shh! Hush up, boy! I've got the floor! Shut up! And today, Robert C. Byrd taught the religion industry what real Christianity means, what real faith means, that it's far more than some satellite television broadcast where you run around threatening judges and claiming persecution. God bless Robert C. Byrd. And God bless the state of West Virginia for maintaining him in the United States Senate in this, one of the nation's most grave hours of need, when a gang of power-hungry, bloodthirsty Republicans seek to destroy the very fabric of the Republic. Where is my opponent? Now, Bill Frist apparently heard there was a new Humane Society shelter opening and he had some cats to dissect. Yeah, he really did that. I know a lot of you little Republicans that hang on my every word don't believe it, but yeah, he did it of his own mouth. When he was a medical student in Massachusetts, taking cats out of shelters and vivisecting them in his apartment for kicks. Bill Frist, filth. Bill Frist, whose family profits on aborted fetuses. Bill Frist, who has the unmitigated temerity to crow and proclaim his Christianity when he doesn't understand the first thing about the message of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. Bill Frist, who only understands the holy jingle and crispy snap of that which is Holy Communion to a Republican, whose only prayers are directed at the only god Republicans know, Almighty Mammon. And that Bill Frist, confronted with righteous speech, righteous indignation, righteous confrontation, did what evil will always do in the face of good. He fled. It couldn't have been any more plain had Robert C. Byrd merely said, "Satan, get thee hence." It could not have been any more plain had Bill Frist had his shoes off, showing his cloven hooves. Bob Byrd understands what I'm talking about when I tell you about the Stump Licker Bunch. The Stump Licker Bunch came to the Senate with blood in its mouth. And Bob Byrd, octogenarian Bob Byrd, knowing the Stump Licker Bunch for what they are, stood up, mashed them in the mouth, and watched them run screaming and squealing like the nasty little bullies they are, into the darkness from whence they had originally risen. God bless you, Robert Byrd. God bless you, West Virginia voters who keep him in Washington. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Did you know 80% of child safety seats aren't used properly? Make sure your kids are always sitting safely in your car. Just stop by State Farm's Child Safety Day and get a car seat or booster seat inspection from a certified specialist. Hey, at State Farm, we have kids too. That's why we say, we live where you live. And that's why, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Join us for Child Seat Safety Day at Hill's Called Insurance. Saturday, May 14th, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. with free inspections from the Beckley Fire Department. Join us and protect your child.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Less Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring sales event. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rotomakers Drive in Berkeley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great place. Great selection. No hassles. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. Our select models for the group have tested exclusively in purchasing a little.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head On.
Welcome back. It was quick and easy, wasn't it? The phone number is 252-6200 if you're in the General Beckley dialing area. Outside Beckley, we're more than happy to pay the freight. It's 800-620-9967. That's WWNR. Learn it, know it, use it freely at your leisure. You can send emails as well, of course, to bob@headonradio.com. You can enter my website through the station website, the same place you go for the stream, WWNRNewsTalk620.com. There's a portal there. Go through. Take advantage of the website that I maintain. Membership is free, and it allows you access to the message boards wherein you can do what Senator Byrd did, and that is take the fight to the other side. It was a beautiful thing today. Let's go to the phones. Mary Lou is with us. Hey, Mary Lou, you're Head On.
Hello, Bob. How are you tonight?
I'm just proud as punch, Mary Lou.
Yes, I am, too. It makes you want to stand up and say, amen, I'm proud. I'm from West Virginia.
I did.
And he makes you proud because age has taught him knowledge. And he knew right from the start about the Iraq War, and he took the fight to the other side. That's what a good lawyer does. That's what a good debater does.
It absolutely is, Mary Lou.
That's how you win a debate. You call their hand. You you bring it forth.
You neutralize them before they even have a chance.
You hit the first punch before they do.
And you know, wouldn't it be nice? I hope some good comes out of this, Mary Lou. I hope the rest of the Democratic senators were paying attention. All these go along, get along. Well, you know, we need bipartisan support. We need to work with the Republicans. No, we don't. They're evil.
He's not going to change their vote.
No, he's not.
Whether they do or not, he's going to hold that little constitution up, and he's going to tell you what it means.
But he needs help.
Yes, he
needs,
does.
He needs the comradely support. Is that a word even? He needs the comradeship of his fellow Democratic senators.
Yes, he does. Well, I know he's got Hillary's.
Yeah.
Well, all the junior senators that are Democrat are for him, Bob. I mean, really, they are. They're behind him 100%.
Well, that's the problem,
that's
though.
That's why they let him make that speech today.
Well, he was the only man who could make it.
Yes.
Even the Senate Minority Leader, Harry Reid, was ceding him time. Because...
They knew he had been there, done that, got the T-shirt for it many times.
And they knew that
he could handle him.
And they knew that he had more spine than every other Democrat in that room.
Right, right. And they were talking about him on some of the other talk shows. I'm not going to call names. I don't talk about people.
I understand.
But they were talking about, you know, another man or another woman could beat him. They'll never do it, Bob.
Nope.
Too many people love Senator Burton.
Well, you see, the continuing talk about Shelley Moore running against him is just that, talk. Because, among other things, they would have to hang Hiram Lewis IV out to dry because he's already announced for the seat. Second, even someone as loathsome as Robert Novak, I'm sure you're familiar with him, the guy that outed Valerie Plame, the CIA agent, the treasonous columnist, and he's as Republican as they come, and he wrote a good month ago that Shelley Moore will not run against Byrd because the Republican National Committee has determined that she couldn't beat him if she had 20 years to try.
Oh, I would love to hear her debate him for 10 minutes.
Would there be anything left of her?
Well, he'd leave her there, but she wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah, in a little heap on the floor. It would be the same thing. Did you see Bill Frist run away today?
Yes.
I mean, is that man just a pitiful coward?
Well, he has got a lot of power in West Virginia. And what people's going to have to understand from here in West Virginia, he could have been president and would have been if he hadn't made a mistake when he was young, which he asked for forgiveness for that and told he made a mistake.
Yes, absolutely.
He acknowledged it.
But you know also that he won today, Mary Lou, when... that drug addict that talks on this station from noon to three.
Oh yes.
You know that he's won when he's hauling out the Klan references.
Yes. Oh, when people start, they were talking about that on some of the talk shows, but yet they said they didn't want anybody to say anything about Capitola being Archie Moore's daughter. What? Yet they were talking about Senator Byrd. So what's the difference, Bob?
Well, the difference is that the Republicans can say anything they want to about any Democrat with absolute impunity, and we on the other side, we're supposed to be very nice about it and say, well, I disagree with you, but I won't say anything bad in return. In other words, we're supposed to just stand there like some tomato can in a fixed boxing match and get punched in the guts and the kidneys and rabbit punched and sucker punched and left hooks to the head and right crosses to the jaw and take it and not punch back.
I think Senator Byrd, Senator Rockefeller, and Nikki Joe are the three things of West Virginia that we better hold on to.
Absolutely.
Because they fight for West Virginia.
Well, you know, Congressman Mollahan up in the first district, he showed some spine too in standing up to the Ethics Committee. And we're gonna get changes out of that now, because he's the ranking Democrat on the House Ethics Committee.
Yes.
So we've got, with one exception, we've got quite an impressive congressional delegation in this state, of which the entire nation may be proud. If we can just get rid of that one blot on our record, we'll be batting 1,000.
Well, I think so too. I think we're batting 1,000 anyway. You know, I really do.
I'd say 880 until we get rid of Shelley Moore.
Well, and I'm not going to say that. I'll agree with the other two talk show hosts. I won't talk about her, but I will say this. She does not stand a chance against Star Senator Burt.
No, she does not, Mary Lou.
Would put their name up there against him.
I'd kind of like to see her try, though, because that means she would have to vacate that congressional seat, and we'd probably get a Democrat back in that.
And that would help us out there.
And then she would get her butt handed to her by Senator Byrd, and that would be the end of her in politics.
Well, it's all right. I'm for women in politics, but I'm not sure not for her running against.
I have nothing against women in politics. I mean, you know, I'm very liberal on that. I am just particularly opposed to that woman in politics because I have nothing for a woman who votes against our troops in Congress.
No, I don't either.
And she did it.
I know, but who was it that stood up and said it was wrong right from the start?
That's right.
Our Senator Byrd.
Exactly.
And I think we can be proud of that. You know, a lot of people, they demeaned him for that, but they haven't realized just yet what that Iraq war means and what it has done to our American youth.
Oh, it's a meat grinder. We know that.
And it's going to be many, many young people that are in high school now.
Oh.
Because it's not going in for quite a while.
I heard some story, I forget, some young Marine, just a 2003 high school graduate, and where he should have had a long life in front of him, thanks to George Bush, he's worm fodder now, and that makes me sick.
Yeah.
And all on a raft of lies.
Well, I heard tonight on the news where that they were going to stop women from being in combat, and I hope they do, Bob. They don't belong there. That's one place that they do not belong.
Well, the Army is said to be opposed to that, though, Mary Lou.
I know. Well, and the Guard probably is, too. But if you go in the Navy and the Air Force, they'll tell you that it's okay for them to be a WAC or a nurse, but they have no business being there on the front line because they panic.
Oh, but of course, in the Navy, Mary Lou, women are on ships of the line even as we speak.
Yes. But they're trying to stop that, and I hope they do during time of war.
Well, I can
because I think that causes more confusion than it's bad enough to be over there without that.
Yeah, you may have a point, Mary Lou. Thank you so much. It's always good to hear from you.
Okay, and thank you, Bob.
You take care now.
Bye.
Bye now. Your comments are, as I said, welcome. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Daggum, I'm proud of that man, Senator Byrd. And if you've got any sense, and the good liberals and progressives and Democrats in general, we're up to our necks in good sense. So you're proud, too. Share it if you want to. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Senator Robert Byrd says he plans to deliver a group of letters to the Pentagon which show support for keeping the 130th Airlift Wing of the West Virginia Air National Guard open in Charleston. Senator Byrd says he remains concerned that the 130th may be on the Defense Department's base closure list to be released tomorrow. He says he's spoken with state, county, and local officials who are sending him letters that he'll take to the Pentagon. Senator Byrd says he's written a letter to the president and also spoken with Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, but has received no guarantees from either one. West Virginia authorities continue searching for an Ohio man wanted in connection with a Tuesday shooting and murder in Raleigh County. State police contend 23-year-old Donald Jesse of Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed 26-year-old Adrian Peoples from Columbus at a residence on Jenny Lynn Road in Eccles. A murder warrant was issued yesterday for Jesse by Raleigh County Magistrate Steve Massey. Trooper Howell with State Police says they just don't know where he is. Authorities in Putnam County continue searching for 48-year-old Kerry McClanahan of Poca, wanted for allegedly assaulting the mother of his child and then taking the child with him last Friday. Fayette County Sheriff Bill Laird says an Amber Alert that was issued after the mother notified Fayette County authorities was not a mistake. He firmly stands behind that decision. A November 2004 court order in Raleigh County gives the mother of the child sole legal custody. Warrants have been issued for Kerry McClanahan on charges of child concealment as well as domestic battery. Well, an uptown Beckley tradition continues for the first time this spring tomorrow at Shoemaker Square. For the last 15 years, during spring, summer, and early fall, Friday in the Park has been celebrated at Shoemaker Square. And the first Friday in the park this year is scheduled for tomorrow. Food vendors will be on hand offering lunch items. Friday in the Park events are scheduled to run each Friday through September 2nd, weather permitting. Weather for this evening calls for showers and thunderstorms possible. Low tonight near 57. Scattered showers and thunderstorms then by Friday afternoon. A little bit cooler tomorrow with a high in the upper 60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
This is a very sad day for 100,000 workers who are wondering what their future will hold.
Association of Flight Attendants spokesperson Sarah Nelson de la Cruz reacted strongly to the decision by a bankruptcy court to let United Airlines end its workers' pensions. Two-thirds of flight attendants will have their modest pension benefits cut in half, while United CEO Glenn Tilton keeps his $4.5 million pension with no cuts at all. De la Cruz says this issue goes far beyond United Airlines threatening every worker in America covered by a pension.
You have to wonder if the White House has a larger plan to overburden the PBGC and trigger collapse of the pension benefit guarantee system for millions of American workers. We're prepared to strike to save our airline and to rid it of these greedy executives.
De la Cruz says the Flight Attendants Union has authorized a strike in defense of its members' pensions, and 26 other flight attendant unions have vowed to strike with them. The PBGC is supposed to guarantee pensions when private employers can't, but the federal agency is itself running a deficit of more than $9 billion after corporate pension bailouts. The Center on Federal Financial Institutions says it could run out of money as soon as 2020. For workers, it means big cuts in their monthly pensions, and De la Cruz says it could trigger widespread elimination of defined benefit pensions throughout the airline industry and the nation.
Healthcare workers in Pennsylvania are demanding a statewide ban that would stop hospitals from using forced and mandatory overtime for nurses. On Tuesday, a news conference held at Mount Nittany Medical Center outside of Philadelphia contrasted the heavy workload of nurses to that of airline pilots who are prohibited from working too many hours. The bill, endorsed by the Service Employees International Union 1199P and the Pennsylvania Association of Staff Nurses, would only allow mandatory overtime in emergency situations. A survey by 1199P has found that 95% of registered nurses support the ban. The BBC could be facing walkouts at TV and radio stations across the United Kingdom. Journalists and technical workers for the British Broadcasting Corporation have voted to strike to protest job cuts that could number in the thousands. The unions representing the workers say the job cuts could damage the quality and standards of the BBC. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Boise, Idaho takes the cake when it comes to being the best place for business in the U.S. According to the new Best Places for Business 2005 list released by Forbes, Boise ranks near the top for job growth and has experienced a steady decline in the cost of living. Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, and Austin, Texas take the next top spots on the list. Last year's number one, Madison, Wisconsin, dropped to number 10 because of the rising cost to do business. You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. A little email from our good friend David down in South Carolina reminded me of something that he said. I loved it when Senator Byrd spoke of his baptism and marriage, 68 years. He specifically addressed the evangelicals, and that was gorgeous. Hear me, evangelicals, hear me. And, of course, he was quoting from the King James Bible as well, as opposed to the New International Version, the corporate Bible. as was noted. But hear me, evangelicals, hear me. See, when you're married for 68 years, and when you walk the walk and talk the talk, you put yourself about 9 miles above. By their deeds you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them. And it's so much more real and so much better than these religion industry fiends like Dobson and his beat your children well doctrine. I will easily and gladly refer to Robert Byrd as a Christian, because I get the distinct impression he does try to live in line with the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. And he is no follower of religious fashion, and certainly no friend of these right-wing idiotologues. Thanks for the email, David. Back to the phones. John is with us. Hey, John, you're head on.
Hello, I was driving through the area and heard your radio show.
Okay.
I am a former Democrat who is now a Republican.
What a pity.
And one thing I'm really glad that you're able to do is to present the traditional Democratic side by calling names and really skipping the issue.
Well, now, see,
and
John,
as a Republican,
okay,
I was...
Pop John down for a minute.
Actually,
pop John down. John, you're still on the phone, but we're going to carry on a discussion, and when I try to speak, it's rude for you to speak over me. Now, I'm going to put you back on. Are you ready to carry on a discussion?
Yes, if you'll
okay.
let me talk.
No, well, no, see, we're going to discuss. It's not all about you talking.
Okay.
Okay, so, listen. You reference name-calling.
Yes.
Okay. That's not what it is. There are things in the English language, and I don't know if you're familiar with them or not.
I'm familiar with
anything. But they're called adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
And one may freely use adjectives to make one's point and to create the image that one desires to convey. Because otherwise, with nothing but nouns and verbs, I mean, haiku is fine, but somehow it lacks the force.
Actually, you don't want to hear my position.
Well, no, go right ahead, John.
Okay, what I'm saying is, as a person who tends to support Republican candidates, we really want people like you to be speaking for the Democratic Party and for that side, because you're doing a great job.
Well, you know, you're free to send
really
in donations, John.
You keep it up, because it will mean that we're going to carry West Virginia the next time in the presidential election. Thanks a lot. You're doing a great job for the Republicans.
Well, okay, John.
We need people like you.
Well, no, you're doing
call.
Fine. Okay,
go
turn him down again. He's screaming again. John, see, that's the way it is with you Republicans. I try to carry on a conversation with you, and you start screaming. Okay? I was civil to you, and you could not be civil back. Now, the fact of the matter is, if West Virginia continues to vote Republican, it will be West Virginia's fault. But West Virginia doesn't, by and large, vote Republican, John. I don't know what parallel universe you live in, but the last time I checked, we have 2 Democratic senators, and 2 out of 3 of our members of the House are Democrats. The governor is a Democrat. The attorney general is a Democrat. The treasurer is a Democrat. The auditor is a Democrat. The majority of the legislature is ostensibly Democratic. The majority of the Senate is ostensibly Democratic. A little too conservative on those 2 counts for my tastes. But you see, John, you rude son of a gun, you... What you fail to note is that you just proved my point. If I, as a Democrat, speak plainly, if I, as a Democrat, speak truth to power, I'm wrong. On the other hand, you can correct me with snideness and snottiness, and it's okay. How many times do I have to prove with people like you to the listeners of this program, the decent people, the Democrats, the progressives, the liberals. How many times do I have to prove that that's what they do? They come in, they come in and they wait, and they see if you're going to be really nice and sweet and sing kumbaya, or are you going to meet force with force? Now, I tried to carry on a pleasant conversation with this man. I don't know him from Adam's house cat. But you heard it. I afforded him an opportunity to speak, and the tone went up and up and up and up. And he betrayed, as is so easy for your average Republican, his abject ignorance. They have no issues. They have nothing to stand upon but a raft of lies and hypocrisy. I have nothing to do with move on, and yet this guy's, move on! You know, by the time, no. See, we're not going to carry on conversations like that. But I will always afford the other side a chance to talk until, as usual, a Republican proves himself incapable of carrying on civilized conversation, just as John just did. So let's go to Maggie. Hey, Maggie, you're head on. Maggie. Hey, Maggie.
I said, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I heard your argument just now.
Aren't they silly?
Yes, they are. Well, I would like to say amen to everything you said about Robert C. Byrd, because I really think that if ever there was a good moral man in Washington, D.C., it is him.
Oh, without a doubt.
Now, Robert C. Byrd and I go back a long ways, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And first time I ever met him, he was a meat cutter over at the Carolina supermarket at Crab Orchard. And then he went into politics. And Bob, he has proved his worth.
Yes, he certainly has.
And West Virginia, I hope that they can remember the things that that man has done. And I don't care who votes for the Capitol or whatever her name is. That's their business. But I will stick with Robert C. Byrd.
As will I, Maggie. And you know, the proof is in the pudding, because it would have been very easy when George Bush started his filthy little war. Wouldn't it have been easy, Maggie, for Robert Byrd to have just put his conscience aside and bowed down before George Bush, just as so many spineless Democratic senators did? Wouldn't that have just been the easier course?
Well, he didn't.
He didn't.
Absolutely. He opposed it from day one. And I can say that the man was right, because we lost five U.S. soldiers yesterday.
I know.
There. And how much more are we going to have to lose, Bob?
Well, I think, you know, George Bush has this competitive streak. I don't think he's going to be happy until the number of names of the dead on his Iraq War monument in Washington exceed those of the names on the Vietnam Wall. You know, he's a competitive soul, George Bush is, and he wants more than 55,000 dead Americans, because American soldiers are just toys for him to play with. That's all they are, and that is sick. It's psychopathic. It's insane. It's sociopathic. And somebody's going to accuse me of calling names again.
Well,
don't you love how they cry, Maggie?
Yeah, but you're the only one that'll stand up to them, Bob, and you keep it up.
Well, I thank you, Maggie. Hope that garden comes in good.
Well, now, I'm trying. I just hope that this frost stops for a little while and we can get it in.
I'm still working on it, too.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care, Maggie. And we'll keep it rolling with Jim. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, yo, Bob.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
You know what? I'm invigorated.
You're having a field day. I share your jubilation, sir.
I'm glad.
And if that guy, John, happened to be riding through this state, next time you take your cigarette break, look out there, and you'll see me on an 8x12 Saruk flying carpet. I know who that guy is.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I know who that guy is.
Okay.
But anyway, listen, let me tell you something. This, as I said before, from the spark shall come the flame. And we've suffered a lot of defeats since the year 2000, okay?
Yeah, because we didn't want to fight, Jim.
Well, the trouble is, here's the thing. And then listen, now hear me out.
Please. Okay, sure.
From a military standpoint, what did Stalin do? What did Tsar Alexander the First do in the wars against Napoleon and Hitler? They fell back.
They fell back.
And they fell back.
And they regrouped.
And they regrouped. And the enemy's supply lines became overextended. And, you know, pretty soon the winter set in. And this time it's going to be the winter of the discontent of the American people with being lied to, with the fake fat forms and shibboleths that these people are using. And when they are seen to be what they are, that's when the snows are going to fall on their feet, and that's when they're going to make their long trek back.
I can promise
you that. It may be a long time in coming, but eventually we will get to Berlin.
Yes, indeed. Or Washington.
We will get to Berlin in that figurative sense.
I understand.
And I'll guarantee you one thing. None of those people up there who were the leaders of this thing would have even the courage that Hitler did to shoot them. Shoot himself.
I think you're right. And, you know, Bill Frist showed that today when he tucked his little tail between his legs and ran away.
I wasn't lucky enough to see that, but I'll tell you, that man absolutely makes every time I see him or hear him, I feel the need to take a shower.
I know. But the beauty of it, Jim, it was artistic as he slunk away into the slimy darkness to hear Robert Byrd say, "Where is my opponent? Where is my opponent?
When you described that, and then your friend John called, that proved to me that your arrow had found its mark. I mean, really. Because you had him upset. And he was trying to turn the tables on you to make you an apologist for the Republican Party. And, you know, this afternoon on the talk show, some people had made reference to certain things about the fact that, you know, you did not let people talk and stuff like that, which is not true.
That's a lie. I gave that man ample opportunity to talk, but he
did. And I have heard you listen, and I've even berated you for wasting time with some of these people when they talk, but you've always been very patient with them, more than I'd ever be. But the thing about it, these people, and the ones that get me are the ones that call and pretend like they're trying to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Intolerant. I mean, I'd rather for somebody just call and say, "Look, I'm just a great big bigot, and I hate your guts, and I want to see you hanging from a lamppost," than I would some of these other guys who try to be nice and pretend like they're trying to, you know, be tolerant, when actually it's not even remotely opaque. It's as transparent as crystal. You know what I'm saying?
I certainly do. But, you know, just as sure as I live and breathe, somebody out there is probably whining, some little wingnut is whining onto the message board, even as I speak, "Bob, cut that caller off." Yeah, but let's be clear, Jim. I potted him down and explained the rules and gave him a little manners lesson. I brought him back up, gave him a second opportunity.
Started yelling again.
And he started screaming again. And, you know, it's not three strikes and you're out. I will gladly carry on a conversation. I will debate, I will argue in any form or format, but you know what? We're going to do it with some degree of civility. And most of these Republicans are simply incapable of doing that.
They can be civil, and they can act with a certain modicum of decorum as long as things are going their way.
Right, and as long as
it goes the other way, and that's when the scales drop off, and you see them for what they really are.
Oh, without a doubt, Jim, without a doubt, and the fact is, it's their modus operandi.
Of course,
it's the way they've been. You know, it's the way they were under Newt Gingrich.
Oh yeah,
it's disgusting, and that's why I keep trying to talk about turning some of the bilious goo inside of my Democrat brothers and sisters into a real live, honest to God spine. Because what you find out with these punks is that when you mash them in the face when they come brawling up to you, they turn around, they tuck their little tail between their legs, and they show themselves for the cowards that they are now, were before, and always will be.
Like the proverbial bully on the playground.
It, without a doubt. You know, we've listed the chicken hawks, these people like Michael Bolton, or John Bolton, for instance, who, was more than happy to let other people go and die in his place in Vietnam, while he was cultivating his good conservative Republican credentials.
Oh, this one that they're trying to send to the United Nations?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
well, you know, I hope they send him up there. And I hope they, and I hope they show, that he shows himself for what he really is. Because he's going to need that mustache of his as a shock absorber for the southern people of the UN are going to ram down his throat.
I just kind of hate it, though, Jim, because it's just going to be another example of a bloodthirsty chicken hawk Republican shaming and embarrassing this nation.
Well, sometimes you have to go through that in order for people to see these people what they really are. You really do. One thing I'd like to make a mention of, and
sure.
One of your callers does not say that women should be in combat, and I don't agree with that. I think they should be, and here are the reasons why. Because, number one, historically, they have proven to be exceptional fighters. If you look at the Russian army,
mm-hmm.
there were units of the Waffen-SS that would not even dare go against a brigade or a battalion of Russian women. Why? Because they never would let go.
Right. They were ferocious. They were fierce.
They were worse than any male soldier they ever fought.
And that theory does travel backwards in history, Jim, to the very origins of the Amazons?
Absolutely.
And
I'm saying this as my vote of confidence in women to be able to do a man's job.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say it. I don't want to see them bleed, and I don't want to see their femininity taken. No, I don't.
No.
But I believe that they can handle a rifle, or they can handle a weapon. And I'll tell you one thing. To tell you the truth, Bob, I'd rather fight a man any day than a woman. If I had to get into it.
Well, yeah, and any married man. Knows that,
yeah, sure you do.
You know, even when it comes to an argument,
they just can't let go.
No. I mean, I joke with my lovely wife about the grudge closet. Sitting there trying to have a perfectly legitimate, decent argument about something going on right here, right now. And the next thing you know, I'm defending something I did 10 years ago.
You got it. And, you know, it's just their way of doing things.
Time out.
I accept it. And
Jim,
that's
Jim, time out. Time out, or I won't get to come in the door. Honey, I meant that as a compliment, okay?
I know you did, and I will vouchsafe for the fact that you did, but that's just the way things are. And men are different from women. You know, men may be from Mars, and women are from Venus, but I can tell you one thing. They can sure put up a hell of a fight, and I applaud their abilities and their prowess as a warrior. And I think there's a place for them in combat. Along with men. I really believe that.
And, well, you know, even where things like flight are concerned, I know that there are studies out there that tend to indicate that they're actually better than men in some circumstances, just because of the way they process information.
Exactly. And I don't know about pain tolerance. They can tolerate certain types of pain greater than men can. Now, men traditionally can tolerate more pain than a woman can, but, you know, there was an article on the radio this afternoon about that, but I just think that they're able to do just as good a job as any man, and I applaud their abilities to do so. And I'm not trying to, like I say, demean them in any way, okay?
I understand.
And so I'm happy that you are in a better mood, and I hope that Senator Byrd will continue and people will follow his lead.
I want to find a link to the audio of it. I looked all over, and I haven't found it yet.
Well,
I
want to play, did you hear this on C-SPAN or what?
Yeah, it was on C-SPAN. C-SPAN.
I wish I'd have been. I was doing something. I was dealing with some New Guinean patients this afternoon. But anyway, I'll tell you what. This might not be the beginning of the end, but it could be classified as the end of the beginning of the Republican hegemony of this government.
I sincerely pray that you are correct, Jim.
So I mean, you know, things were pretty dark in London in 1940 when Luftwaffe was bombing the devil out of Coventry and towns like that.
Right.
And who would have believed in 1940, 5 years later, that they'd be marching right down to Unter den Linden in Berlin?
That's true. All it takes is a little bit of starch.
And a little faith.
Exactly. Jim, have thanks faith, so much for your comments, and I will.
God bless you, my friend.
And you as well, sir. You as well. Like I said, there's a double standard. If I use an adjective to describe someone, Bob, she's calling names, and I don't like that. On the other hand, right-winger does it. You know, well, I don't really listen to that. Don't lie. Because, of course, they do. That's where they get their talking points. And the other thing that I find funny is this, well, I sure am glad you're out there because, you know, you make the Republicans look mighty good. I don't know where that comes from, but, you know, let me make this clear once and for all. The mailing address here is 306 South Kanawha Street, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. You Republicans that think I'm so good for your stinking little party, feel free to send cash, okay? Now, I won't take your checks, because they're not worth the paper they're printed on, but you can send cash, gold coins, that kind of thing, and I'll be happy to accept it if you think I'm doing such a doggone good job for your side. Fair enough? I think it is. Tell you what, if you're on hold, please stick around. We got to go to the top of the hour news, and I don't want to cut anybody off by saying, well, hey, goodbye, you know, we got 1 minute. I don't like to do that to people. So, let's see. No lines open. Phone number, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Get in line, keep it ringing, and you'll be next as soon as somebody else hangs up. But stick around if you're all, and we will go right back to the phones out of the top of the hour news. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. By Jove, I'm Bob Kincaid.
For many Americans, the dream of owning a home is out of reach because they lack a down payment or they want to save their money for a rainy day. What most Americans don't know is that there are grants available from a nonprofit organization that cover your down payment, closing costs, and there are minimal income restrictions. The grants can include a one-year mortgage payment protection plan, which means if you lose your job, the plan will pay your mortgage for up to 6 months. You never have to repay the grant, and only seller participation is required. Imagine it, getting into the home of your dreams with no money down. Now, turn your dreams of home ownership into a reality, and turn your next rent payment into your first mortgage payment. Join the 50,000-plus that have used a grant from this nonprofit organization nationwide by calling 1-866-NO-DOWN-P. That's 1-866-NO-DOWN-P. Or visit us online at www.neighborhoodgold.com.
So, Kristen, how was Esther's baby shower?
Oh, great.
Yeah?
You know it's a girl, right?
Oh, wow. What's her name?
It's one of those names.
Excuse me?
You know, one of those names. Shakita, Juanita, Jaquita. Why do black people like those kinds of names anyway? They just make it harder on themselves, you know what I mean?
No, Kristen. I don't know what you mean.
Imagine the power of one voice. Find your voice at freedomcenter.org. A message from the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
My mommy has multiple sclerosis.
If you think it's hard to say, imagine living with the debilitating effects of multiple sclerosis. We're the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Call 1-800-FIGHT-MS.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
You seek help from a financial planner. You have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. Call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK for information on how to assert your rights. Or visit CFP.net.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. As an area of low pressure aloft cruises across the southern Great Lakes, we're on the fringe of it, so it looks like the overnight hours will be generally quiet with a 4 in 10 risk of showers and 58 by morning. As we look at the afternoon Friday, 73 returns, slight chance of a shower under a mostly cloudy morning, but the afternoon we'll see a little sunshine. Saturday, thunderstorms back again, 71.
News Talk 620, WWNR.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
A lot of pollen in the sandbox, too, these days, so I apologize. I'm still battling off sinus hell. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts, or as our friend Stephen in England referred to it, Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense. Yes, brethren and sistren, I got this in an email from our new friend Peter in Tallahassee. We were talking last night about the perversion of faith by the religion industry. These people whom I refuse to refer to as Christian, since they're not. And he sent me a link to a website. I went and I looked at it. I'm not gonna give you the website address itself. I don't want them to have the traffic, okay? But this is sickening. You know the magnets you see people who consider themselves Christian of the fish symbol, and you'll see it on the back of a car. Manifestation of faith, yeah, no big deal. Well, this outfit has taken that symbol, overlaid it on red and white stripes, and inside the fish, they have put the word Bush. Do you believe God belongs in government? Do you believe President Bush is doing the Lord's work? If so, then show your love for God and the USA. By putting an idol on your car that deifies George W. Bush, a man who has been personally responsible for more deaths and more human misery than any other human being in recent memory. This is sickening. And, of course, they're also hawking little yellow ribbon magnets that say support our troops, and we're, of course, made in China. This is what we talk about constantly. This is the perversion of faith that is the Republican Party. This is their filth. This is their trash. This is their garbage. And, of course, they're not giving these away. No, no, because the real holiness of the Republican Party is in your wallet. You gotta buy them, sunshine. You gotta buy them. Are you tired of secularists? Secularists, well, howdy do. Didn't know I was a secularist. I thought I was just a human being. Are you tired of secularists telling you prayer has no place in this public school system? Guess what? There's not a secularist out there, whatever the hell that is, who's ever said that there's no place for prayer in the public school system. The only thing that the reasonable and decent and sane liberals and progressives and Democrats have to say about that is that religion is an intensely personal act. And for our part, we don't want the government telling us how to pray, which direction to face when we pray, who to pray to, what prayer to say. But of course, that's not good enough for these right-wing religion industry evangelo-fascists, because they want to tell you who to pray to, how to pray, when to pray, where to pray. And that is the greatest threat to religious liberty in this nation. Far more than any. Oh, let's see. What did Pat Robertson say? Any bearded guy flying planes into buildings. Yeah, thanks, Pat. You understand what they're about? They cloak their desires inside the First Amendment, but their entire goal is the elimination of religious freedom in this nation. To believe as you wish or not believe. Ultimately, the Taliban religion industry in this country wants to control the way you believe. Where, when, how, why. Of course, they believe that one of these days they'll get to put the Jews to the sword. And like I heard one religion industry preacher on the way home last night say, of course, it's terrible when the Muslims die in them insurgent attacks in Iraq, because, well, you know where the Muslims is going, and it ain't where they think. Yeah. This guy declares himself a preacher, gets a radio show, and thinks he has the answer to what happens to Muslims when they die. or anybody else who doesn't happen to believe like him. Okay, let's go back to the phones. JJ is with us. I appreciate you waiting, JJ. Thanks.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
Doing good.
I wanted to comment on, I can't remember exactly how you and Jim got on to the subject, but you got on to women in the military?
Well, it had been brought up in a previous conversation, but yeah.
Well, I want to comment on that and hopefully not prove how stupid I am and not sound sexist while I do it.
Okay.
The problem that I see with women being in frontline combat in the military has nothing to do with a lack of the ability on the part of the woman to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us, especially from the South, were raised to treat women differently than, you know, put them in the fight and, you know, stuff like that. You know, we were raised to open doors and
absolutely
like that.
I got that upbringing too, JJ. Don't worry.
So, you know, I don't really see a problem with it as a problem with the women not being able to do the jobs, but as the women being there affecting how the men do theirs, if that makes sense.
No, that's a valid concern. The thing is, is there proof that that happens or has happened now?
Well, probably not, and I'm probably foolish to think that people actually behave that way in this day and age, but, you know, your generation was taught it, and because
of... It's a valid concern, JJ, as is the concern of, well, now we know that it didn't happen, but you remember all the propaganda about how Jessica Lynch was brutally raped by the evil Muslims. You remember all that?
Yes.
Well, that was done specifically for purposes of inflaming the weirdo right wing.
Right.
And of course, this move about taking women out of combat roles is being generated by the Republican Party. And the thing that concerns me, JJ, and I'm not gooning on your position. I hope you understand. What concerns me is what we see out of the loony right is a constant assault on women, whether it be a woman's right to control what happens to her insides, or whether she can go into into the job market, you know, on an equal footing. You know, what is it, for every dollar a man earns in America, a woman earns 75 cents?
Well, I kind of see a simple solution to it. I mean, if you want to put women in frontline combat, and if what I brought up actually is a concern, you know, if you put you know, like an all-female squad or something like that.
Gender-segregated units.
Yeah, but, yeah, I know, again, that, you know, that brings up the nasty segregation word and all, but it's...
Well, no, I didn't use it in a pejorative sense. As Jim mentioned, there were all women units in the Russian army that even the nastiest of the German army wouldn't go up against because they knew that they would die, and they wouldn't die gently, they would die brutally.
Right. But, you know, like I said, you know, I was raised in a Southern household, and it's, you know, when Dad wasn't around, Mom was the one to tan your backside when you stepped out of line, and, you know, I'm as afraid of her as I ever was of him.
No mercy. just the long walk to get the peach switch.
You know, yeah.
You know, never even got hit with it, but walking back with it was punishment.
I have four very strong female influences in my life. My mother and my three sisters, and, you know, I would trust any of them with my life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just the way that I was brought up, I couldn't see myself putting them in that frontline combat kind of situation because of how I was brought up.
No, I understand that completely. JJ, thank you so much for your call. I do appreciate it. Always good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Have a good one.
Thanks. Take care. And a quick break, then back for more phone calls. Stick around. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for LS Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selection, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you.
spring sales event. Sign and buy with SeaWorld Town and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota, 300 Rollmakers Drive in Beckley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great price, great selection, no hassles. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and buy with SeaWorld Town and no payments till fall. On select models with a smooth credit. Enter screws from date of purchase. Example, we'll buy for over 303 per month for 6 months with 6.5% APR. High interest offer ends 5/31/05.
Where there's a tornado, where there's a forest fire, where Mother Nature is at her worst.
Where there's a search,
where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
When disaster strikes,
or one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
WWNR Beckley.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. We're pretty well rolling and rousing this evening, without a doubt. Let's go straight back to the phones. Ben's with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey there. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm awful proud of Senator Byrd.
You have every single right to be. I think he has showed exactly what the man is made of, and he's a national treasure, not just a treasure to you there in West Virginia.
We're particularly proud of him, though. You know, I did, and it was nice. Like I said, I was reading on the boards at Democratic Underground. Our new friend Eleni sent me a couple of links, and just to see people from all over the nation saying, you know, gosh, I wish we had a senator like that.
Yep. Now, here's a couple of things I've been sort of simmering on the back burner here. One is about Mr. John Bolton.
Oh, golly.
Now, I've done, and as you may know, I've got a little bit of connection myself to some of the sexual undergrounds in this country.
Right.
And now, as you know, Larry Flint has published a bunch of data on Mr. Bolton of late.
No, I wasn't familiar with that.
Bro. Oh, yes. Well, it seems that Mr. Bolton not only paid to attend Plato's Retreat, which was a notorious swingers club in New York
in the
70s and early 80s, but he coerced his wife into doing so, and the woman was horribly afraid of him. He was very abusive to her, and this all came out in the divorce.
Where's the liberal media on this, Ben?
Well, gosh, I don't know. I think you might be the liberal media.
Sometimes I wonder.
I think some days I'm the liberal media.
Yeah.
This is what destroyed Jack Ryan.
Yes, it is.
Here in Illinois, it absolutely destroyed his political career. The man will never stand for dog catcher again.
But, of course, you know, this, and it kind of goes back then to what was said about John Bolton after the 2000 fiasco. Someone asked, and remember, he showed up down in Miami-Dade County, and he said, "My name's John Bolton, and we're here to stop the count." He did that. And
yes, he did. And that is the sort of tactic that brown shirts love.
Yeah, and so later on they're asking Dick Cheney, well, what position is John Bolton going to have in the new administration? And Dick Cheney, you know...
missionary.
Well, any position he wants.
I think probably missionary position.
Oh, I don't know. Anybody that goes to Plato's Retreat, you know, I'm guessing swinging from the chandelier.
That could be. But, here we have another leader of the Republican Party and the neocons, that when you slip a credit card into the lock of his closet and pull that sucker open and turn on the light, there is something nasty in there.
Oh, there's more skeletons in there than the graveyard scene in Hamlet.
Now, at least he wasn't doing horses.
That we know of yet.
Well, Plato's, I don't think, let horses in, probably. We're probably safe to say that. You know, whores, on the other hand, that's another question.
Right, but then again, he gets a pass.
Right, well, you know, nothing that a Republican does is ever wrong. Even if it's exactly the same thing, you destroy a Democrat.
Well, exactly. And, you know, this business with George Voinovich in Ohio today just made me sick, Ben. You know, they voted him out of the committee with no recommendation.
Right.
And that was said to be, oh, those are some principled Republicans there. And George Voinovich delivers this jeremiad against him. All George Voinovich, it was 10 to 8, all George Voinovich had to do was vote with the 8 Democrats, and he doesn't get out of committee at all because it's a deadlock.
Here's the deal. You know, even back in the days of Hitler, there were some politicians who decided to go along to get along because they didn't want to have a knife put between their third and sixth, you know, sixth ribs, you
sure.
know?
Yeah.
You know, and wiggled around in their heart. So they wanted to not have happened to them what happened to all the other politicians that opposed the Nazis. And I think we can see what happens to a politician's career, at least, when he opposes George Bush. He never gets reelected again because they put more money into that district than they put into the 10 surrounding districts, even if it hurts the Republican Party in the long run, even if they lose other seats for putting that money where they put it to get their retribution, they do it.
Oh, yes. This is to say that it's Machiavellian is actually going kind of rough on Machiavelli.
Right, because I think he had a kinder, gentler sort of sleaze than these people have.
Oh, without a doubt, Ben.
Now, the other thing is there are people attempting to discredit this memo that says that George Bush cooked the books on the intelligence intentionally to get us into a war.
Oh, the one from the Sunday Times of London?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to those people who think that this memo is in some way fabricated or in some way, like the George Bush memo with the National Guard.
Right.
Well, you know who MI6 are, right?
That would be the James Bond crowd in England.
Well, MI5 is the James Bond crowd.
Okay.
MI6 is the FBI in England.
Okay, sure.
Okay, in domestic intelligence. MI6 is busy going through people's desks now, trying to find out who the leaker was.
Sure.
And so this is as deadly serious as it gets. Somebody has violated the Official Secrets Act, and somebody is likely to serve a good, long stretch in Surrey prison.
What a shame.
It is.
But it is real. And what I found particularly telling out of all that, Ben, was when it came out in the Sunday Times, reporters asked the Blair government, and they said, well, there's nothing new in that report. Isn't that a tacit admission of its authenticity?
Yes, it is an actual, not just tacit, it's an explicit admission of its authenticity. It's certainly stipulating to the facts.
And now that Tony Blair got a real dose of wake-up in this last election, do you think that maybe some of this may have a little something to do with, I don't know how to put it without getting in terrible, terrible trouble, with the sending a message to George that he's not playing anymore?
Intentionally.
Yeah.
I don't think he feels he's been well used by George Bush. That much is clear.
Nor has he. There's a great animation out there on the internet, Ben, of Bush and Blair standing together with this great punk song, "I Want to Take You to a Gay Bar."
I got it. Yep.
And for anybody who needs a good laugh, that's highly recommended. But the thing is, I don't know if Blair. I don't even assuming for a moment that my little paranoid fantasy is correct. I don't know if Blair understands the servile nature of our media. CNN, I saw a reference on BuzzFlash, CNN has finally gotten around to it a week and a half late.
That's okay, better late than never.
Well, amen to that.
Here's the deal. You know, we are, you, me, all of the other voices online, the blogosphere, we are an insurgent media, okay?
Oh, I like
that. We are insurgents in this country. We are here to bring down this government. There is absolutely nothing that ought to be left standing of this government or the Republican Party when we are finished. And we just have to keep hammering the truth, because all we need is the truth. The truth will destroy these people because when you turn on the light of truth, Nazis fly into the cracks in the walls like cockroaches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I hope we're doing that. Could you trouble yourself, Ben, to send me a link about the Larry Flint
expose? I certainly will.
I would appreciate it. Thanks so much, Ben.
You take care, sir.
And thanks for all you do.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. John Bolton and the Bush administration comes out and says, well, you know, we wanted a tough guy going in there. Really? Really? You wanted a tough guy? Then why did you send him? This is a guy who's such a marshmallow. See, he's only tough if he's dealing with someone underneath him, someone in a weaker position. Oh, he's real tough with women. And somehow I don't have a lot of regard for people who feel like they need to be tough with women. You know who John Bolton reminds me of? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. It's a funny movie. To Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. There is a scene in there where the tough guy, the John Bolton character, just got done beating up his wife. That's John Bolton tough. That's Republican tough. You know, Republican tough is beating up a nation that's never raised a finger against you, to wit, Iraq. Republican tough is whipping your wife. And there is a scene in there where Patrick Swayze, admittedly dressed in, really turned out, goes in and just knocks the snot out of this wife-abusing bully. That's the kind of tough guy John Bolton is. And I have a feeling, you know, because, you know, when you listen to a neo-Confederate, well, a bunch of sissies up in the U.N., I'm not so sure. He might just get the same treatment that the wife beater got in Tu Wong Fu. And of course, those bold, principled Republicans, they could have just turned him down. Every one of them knew what a punk he is, but because they are scared to death of their fueler, they said, well, we're just not going to report him out with a recommendation. Is that okay, George? Please, don't hurt us! Jesus, please don't hit us! Please, Carl, please! What's the reference in Henry V where they're talking about the Dauphin, the Crown Prince of France, who speaks with such bluster about what he will do on the morrow at Agincourt? And I think it's the Herald or one of the... And he says, oh, yes, he will eat all that he does kill, and I've never seen him do harm yet. That's a coward. That's what we're dealing with here. Let's see. One line open, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Back to the phones. We're just going to stay steady on it when we get back from the bottom of the hour break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. West Virginia authorities continued searching today for an Ohio man who's wanted in connection with a Tuesday shooting and murder in Raleigh County. State police contend 23-year-old Donald Jesse of Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed 26-year-old Adrian Peoples, also of Columbus, at a residence on Jenny Lynn Road in Eccles. State Trooper J.L. Howell.
Basically, we found a male deceased inside a residence, and we're just looking for Donald Jesse for that murder.
A murder warrant was issued yesterday for Jesse by Raleigh County Magistrate Steve Massey. Another Columbus resident, 26-year-old Romello Heller, was also shot and wounded during the incident, which state troopers feel is drug-related. He was taken to a Beckley hospital and then transported by family members to an out-of-state facility. Authorities in Putnam County today continue searching for 48-year-old Kerry W. McClanahan of Poca, wanted for allegedly assaulting the mother of his child
and then taking the child with him last Friday. Fayette County Sheriff Bill Laird.
At this time, additional criminal arrest warrants have been issued for the subject who was involved in the alleged abduction of a three-year-old child from the Plum Orchard Road area of Fayette County. At this time, we've been in contact with authorities in Putnam County and have reasons to believe that both he and the child are in the Poca area.
An Amber Alert was issued after the mother notified Fayette County authorities Friday about the incident, but lifted when custody of the child fell into question. Sheriff Laird says some people are calling the Amber Alert a mistake, but he firmly stands behind that decision. A national consumers group has listed 12 West Virginia nursing homes among those that may provide questionable care. Five of those have been on the Consumer Union Center for Consumer Health Choices watch list for three of the past 4 years, and they are Fairhaven Rest Home Huntington, Boone Healthcare Center Danville, Berkeley Springs Rehabilitation and Nursing, Hidden Valley Healthcare Oak Hill, and Eagle Point in Parkersburg. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms possible. Low tonight near 57. For Friday, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly in the afternoon. And cloudy with a high near 70. Tomorrow night, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms. Then for Saturday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms by afternoon. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Bush's handlers keep him in a happy little bubble, comfortably isolated from something kind of important for a president, reality. George says that he doesn't read newspapers, instead trusting his aides to give him any news he needs to know. And when he goes on the road for one of his town meetings, he doesn't really meet the town. Instead, the audience is carefully selected by Republican political operatives to make certain that their man only hears praise from folks who agree with him. Potential critics are sought out in advance and forcibly removed from these public meetings. Basically, Bush hears only from the three pillars of his political base: corporate executives, Republican Party faithful, and the extreme Christian right wing. This leaves him clueless about what the workaday majority of Americans are experiencing and thinking, which helps explain why he is pushing policies so outside the American mainstream. For example, George keeps insisting that the economy is booming, and his top economic official, Treasury Secretary John Snow, has even exclaimed that the economy is in a, quote, sweet spot. Well, yes, if you're a CEO, corporate profits are zooming, exceeded only by CEO pay. But the reality for working families is that their wages aren't even keeping up with the cost of living, and their health care is being cut, assuming they have any coverage at all. In fact, only a third of Americans think the economy is improving, and they're the only ones Bush ever talks to. Likewise, George is still pushing his privatization plan for Social Security, even though only 25% of the people think he's doing the right thing. But, after all, Bush and his close corporate coterie don't need Social Security and can't imagine the anxiety they're creating for the majority who do. This is Jim Hightower saying, it can be politically dicey for a president to be so out of touch with ordinary Americans. Indeed, while George hides in his bubble, removed from the reality real people face, he's become the least popular second-term president on record.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives. Baked, boiled, or fried. Here is Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Don't forget, in souffles, and pooched. Just love them. About 24 minutes, a little less than, before 9 o'clock here in beautiful uptown Beckley. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A reminder, a week from tonight, we will not be live. I will be guest waitering at one of my favorite, my favorite local restaurant, the Sedona Grill over in Fayetteville. Of course, all tips and donations go to the United Way and Women's Resource Center, right, John? Yeah. So come on out. It should be a lot of fun, and you will get one of, if not the best meal you've had in a long, long time. Brian and Jenny over at, and the whole crew over at Sedona Grill are, for my money, as good as you're going to get anywhere in this area, and a wide variety, too. So Thursday night, no show, but so that being the case, come on over. Let's make it a party. What do you say? The phone number, of course, is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Email to bob@headonradio.com. Ed is with us and has been very patient. I appreciate it, Ed. You're Head On.
Howdy. How you doing, Bob?
Doing great, Ed. Yourself?
Yeah, I can tell you are. You did a good number on that John. He says he's just passing through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet he is. What he's doing is playing them Republican tricks and sneaking around listening to you to find out some truths.
Well, you know, Ed, there are more Republicans than we can even imagine who hang on my every word.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's so cute to watch them try to defend their position, and then, you know, they got to come on, they got to be rude, they got to be nasty. I'm not mean to anybody.
And I don't think you are. You tell the truth, and if it fits, I'd say wear it.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to hear Bird. I hope they have a rerun on C-SPAN or something there.
I do too. I've been checking. I haven't seen that it is yet.
Yeah, but I haven't really supported Bird until about the last 5 years, and he really won me over when he stood up and went against this war.
Absolutely.
And he is one man, regardless of what the Republicans say, that if you call him, you get a response. If you call Nick Joe Rahal, you get a response. I've got letters here from them where I've called in, and they have to add their people and them by what they say to respond to what I was talking about.
You're absolutely right. I have never communicated with either of those offices that I have not gotten a personal response.
Yeah. I just wonder if the Republicans are that warm-hearted.
Well, it depends on how much money you got.
Yeah, right. But going back to John, I'm glad he's just passing through, if he really is. But you talk about name-calling and this type of stuff. I want you to look at old Frisk and DeLay, and especially, you know, somebody call in there and jump on you like it or try to. They didn't get very far with it. But to have a idiot like Rush Limbaugh on there and the name calling, and even the callers, if they disagree with him, they're a fool.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that. You know, I heard him call a woman a fool. And so they don't need to start nothing about name calling. And, you know, old John needs to cry and tell.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if somebody swings at me, I'm punching back.
I ain't gonna wait on them. If I see it coming, I'm more aggressive than that. And I heard, I think you said that take the battle to them, or don't fight on their territory.
Right.
That's exactly my theory on all of it. And I'm not on defense.
No.
You know, I'm coming out, and I'm coming out talking strong, and I am strong on it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if we could get the entire Democratic Party to do that, we'd have Washington back, you know, last election.
Well, as long as we stand up and say, well, he's got a good point, that makes a good sense. There ain't nothing a Republican ever said, in my opinion, that made good sense.
Yeah, I'm still
except
waiting.
We lost. You know, that's what I like to hear him say. We lost. But I think we need to get them on the local level and on the national level both. And, show them that we're not going to lay down and roll over and play dead because they're on a little bit of a roll right now.
Well, I think they're reeling now. The American people are beginning to, I mean, you know, the mask has come off and we can see the fangs now. And they're on their way out.
Yeah. Well, if this Social Security thing had been on, if they'd have showed their true colors and showed where that was at prior to the election, he wouldn't be in there anyway.
Absolutely.
But, I guess you heard the, thing on that preacher resigning out in, Carolina, didn't you?
Yeah, that was sweet.
Huh?
That was nice.
Yeah, that was better than
nice. Of course, he claimed that he never said what he said, but, you know, you can find the quotes from the tape are all over creation.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just, you know, he's just another religion industry liar. Just another lying Republican.
Yeah.
It's what they do.
It's a shame they can still get away with using the pulpit as a whipping post against the Democrats and hooray for the Republicans. It's just a shame that they can do that. But, you know, I hear a lot on these pensions. I'm going from one thing to the other, and
this is
my last one.
That's all right.
They talk about pensions, and you know whose fault it is, Bob, that the pensions are like it is?
Whose?
It's the unions. And I'm telling you, from a union man's standpoint, a bunch of us went to West Virginia University to a guy named Joe Swire way back in the 70s to learn about pensions and Social Security and the different types of pensions and Social Security. And we made the sad mistake of falling on this defined benefit plan. And when you've got that, the company keeps the money. They have to put in so much money for each man hour work. But when it breaks up, if a company moves or whatever, all they have to do is pay off what appears to be what was going to be the average age and set aside money for that. And the millions of dollars we had in that goes back to the company.
Yeah.
And if the unions was very smart, and us included, we would have had a money purchase plan. That's where the company puts in half of it and the man puts in half of it, or have it to where this union control like the Teamsters.
Right.
And this kind of stuff wouldn't happen. But if we had it to do over, I guarantee you we'd be under a money purchase plan. And that way the company couldn't do nothing. We could tie up everything they had that was in that pension.
Well, you know, they're talking about striking at United now, Ed. But the thing is, they're saying, you know, maybe the flight attendants will strike, and in that case, they'll keep flying, that neither the machinists nor the pilots have the starch to walk out. And, you know, we hold pilots in very high esteem, and they deserve our esteem. But do you know what a starting pilot gets paid?
I would figure probably 70,000 to 80,000 at least.
No,
I mean, that's the very least.
No, U.S. Air, for instance. They start you out on one of those little commuter lines that's sort of a subgroup of the airline. I believe it's U.S. Air that makes its pilots sign agreements not to apply for welfare benefits, and they get paid about $18,000 a year.
My gosh, that's $9 an hour.
Yeah.
Well, as long as, you know, I hope that if they start pulling selective strikes, or what they call mini strikes, that they hit the most crucial part of it, because you can paralyze a company depending on which part of the people come out. You can force the rest of them to shut down, and then they can draw unemployment.
And see, a lot of people, Ed, think that because, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, that's who's going to be in charge of pensions for United now that they've been allowed to steal the pension monies in this bankruptcy. The sad thing is that's going to be pennies on the dollar for those pension recipients. For those workers, it's pennies on the dollar. But most Americans think, well, okay, the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation has it. Everybody's going to be okay. No, they're not.
But they're not going to get made whole.
No, they're not. Not by a long shot.
Well, you know something, Bob? And I really mean it. The only man I ever seen stand up. And our union leaders now has got these helicopters and $500,000 homes, big swimming pools, and big commitments for their money. And they are not going to pull a nationwide strike. But that needs to be what's done. I heard Doug Frazier, the president of the United Auto Workers, one time tell us when we was in Washington, it may be coming time to lay down the tools across the nation. That was when Reagan fired all the air con, but he was winding. And, you know, I hate to say it, but the unions need to stand up and get some backbone back in them, because they got to realize where they come from. We come here with nothing. And if they're going to take it back, let's help them. You know, let's stand up and have it taken, not lay down and roll over and let them take us.
Yeah.
And I probably seem real militant, but I come from the old school. I worked under those conditions.
Ed, that doesn't sound militant to me. That sounds like good common sense. But the other thing we have to bear in mind is that since those evil days of Ronald Reagan, the labor laws have been shifted in such a way that if there was a call for a general strike in this country, it would be like music to the Republicans' ears, because the laws are tilted against the unions in such a way that if there was a call for a general strike, every union that participated would be busted down to nothing.
Well, strike until they decide they ain't going to do it, that there ain't going to be no penalties or nothing else. I mean, Bob, it wouldn't take long to paralyze this. You know, you're talking about a deficit. It would be more than $6 trillion or whatever it is. If all of them come out, those tax dollars, when it stops rolling, then they're going to listen. But Reagan set the stage, and he opened up the corporate doors on the unions and the working class. He started this stuff.
Yeah, if there's any justice at all, he is getting everything that he deserves, even as we speak.
I'm sorry?
I said, if there's any justice at all, Reagan, for what he did to working people, is getting everything that he deserves, even as we speak. And I'm not talking about a halo and a harp.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and some more of these Christians like George Bush, the killers, they're going to get theirs too. Unless, you know, I hate to see anybody go to that place, but, sometimes you lay the boardwalk to walk there on, don't you? In other words, hell's paved all the way with good intentions, and he didn't have the first one.
Broad is the path.
Yep.
And these people are dancing straight down it. I mean, if the way I was taught, you buy your ticket with your life on earth, and
yep.
when you run around trying to screw a working man out of a dollar and cheat him out of the bargain that he made in his youth, in his old age, you know, as far as I'm concerned, your ticket's punched, off you go.
Yeah, well, we're just going to have to try to get past George Bush the best way we can.
I want a Democratic majority in the House of Representatives in the 06 elections so bad I can taste it.
Well, I want Democrat control all the way.
Well, I do too, but in the House especially, because then I want the impeachment proceedings to begin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm with you, and I really, that was better than watching a guy get punched in the nose, the way you handled that one. hang in there. And you Republicans, come on, buck up in the back and call old Bob. He likes you. Bob, talk to you later.
They are kind of fun to play with, Ed.
Yeah, I mean, that's all they're fit for.
Take care now.
All righty, bye.
Good hearing from you. And Trish, hey, Trish, you're head on. Thanks for waiting.
Do you need to take a break?
No, I'm fine.
Explain something to me, since I'm a little new at all of this. What is a neocon?
It's short for neoconservative. Some define them as liberals gone bad. Others tend to define them as whatever this breed of hateful, semi-fascist so-called Republicans that swarm around George Bush are.
Oh.
Neocon, hypocrite, you know, they're interchangeable. But they tend to be bloodthirsty, Trish. They tend never to have served in the military, and yet they also tend to clamor for war as long as it's somebody else's kid dying for it.
Okay. I wasn't real sure, because I thought, you know, I never voted much except for Byrd. I like Byrd.
Mm-hmm.
Byrd has been good for the state.
Yes, he has.
And I know that even my grandparents liked Senator Byrd. My parents liked Senator Byrd. you know, I came from a Democratic background of hardworking people.
Right.
And that I'm a conservative, and as a conservative, you know, I was raised up in a community where people went to church, but
sure.
It's not like what the Republicans stand for with, like, the benches there. Let me just put it that way.
I understand.
You understand where I'm coming from?
I absolutely do, because I was raised in a church, in a Southern Baptist church, where the people around me would have turned blue and screamed.
Yeah, my grandmother would have too.
At the very idea of dragging the saving grace of Christ Jesus into the filth and mud of politics.
Yeah.
But you see, now that they have the bit in their teeth, these, I call them religion industrialists, because I absolutely, Trish, refuse to refer to these people as Christians who have absolutely nothing in common with the message of Christ. Okay? These right-wingers who, for instance, used churches as campaign headquarters operations for Bush. These Republicans who used church directories as campaign outreach materials for Bush. That is a what else can you call it, Trish, except a perversion of the message of Christianity?
Well, you know, I thought that the church, if they got involved in politics, I thought they were supposed to lose their
tax-exempt status?
Right.
Yeah, they're supposed to. It's not going to happen, though, because, of course, the IRS is controlled by the White House, and the White House isn't going to let, you know, they're not going to kill the goose that lays the golden egg. And, you know, you say you're a conservative, Trish. I understand that. I have real conservative elements in my life as well. My wife and I have to maintain our family on a budget every month. How can you be anything but conservative when you have to do that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm also conservative insofar as I don't believe in wasting money on wars that don't have to be fought.
I heard somebody say the other day, well, he's wanting a democracy. Yes, it's not a constitution for a president to go around the world making wars for a democracy.
Well, how can you extend democracy at the point of a gun, Trish?
And on top of that, I was not for the Iraq War. I'll just be honest. I just was not for it. I didn't think we had any business there. I think the Saudis were a problem. And,
yes.
You know, I know they got the oil, and I know that we have got people on both sides of the aisle who have got their wealth all invested with them. And,
sure.
Something that Donald Rumsfeld said many, many, many years ago, and I don't remember if he was in the Nixon administration or what. It's been a long time, because that was back during the Vietnam War when I lived on a military base. I heard him say, it doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or a Republican president in office. If there is a question that has never gotten answered, don't let them get you off onto something else without that question being answered. You make sure you make your government accountable. And I know that when those 29-page documents came out with individuals' names on it, of people who was helping our enemies and those trying to kill us, the president said it had to do with national security. Do you remember that? Do you remember
the senator
from, I think he was from maybe Georgia, and the other one was from Michigan. You had a conservative and both of them said on the intelligence, and they said it had nothing to do with the intelligence. It just had the names of individuals who were helping our enemies, and that those names needed to be revealed to the American people. And anyway, they knocked the Republican off the Intelligence Committee for telling that. But, you know, we never did make them reveal those people's names.
No.
And we got off onto something else. It was taxes or something.
Right. And a secret, I remember.
And we need to get back to answering this question.
Those questions have to be answered. We need a full and fair accounting of how 9/11 came about.
Right.
Well,
I want to tell you what I heard. I don't know if you ever have heard America Right or not, but there is a gentleman who had stated that there was never a plane that went into the Pentagon.
I've heard that argument.
And he said, now this isn't somebody that is just off the wall somebody. This is somebody, I guess, that he doesn't take either side. But he said, a missile hit that Pentagon. And he said the grass outside the Pentagon was not even singed. And he said, and he knew that for a fact.
And the thing is, Trish, whether he's right or
wrong. And we never did see a plane pull away from there. And
no.
And like I said to somebody the other day, if an airplane with that much fuel in it would bring down the World Trade Center, think of what it would have done to the Pentagon.
Oh, I know. And consider what happened yesterday, Trish. We scrambled fighter jets over a single-engine Cessna airplane, a private aircraft, and we did it like that.
And we didn't even tell the city people in Washington who were still at their desk that planes had been scrambled and they were still working.
And yet it took us 45 minutes, an hour to scramble planes when four jumbo jets were hijacked on 9/11. I can't make it add up, can you?
No. You know, I kind of, you know, just as a thought, instead of using conservatives as Republicans, because not all conservatives are Republicans.
I understand
that. You do
that.
Know that.
I do.
And there are conservative independents, there are conservative all kinds of people.
Sure.
But they're all not Republicans. Republicans have always stood for the wealthy and the rich.
You're absolutely right.
And so, you know, that is one thing I think that has kind of hurt the Democrats is when they keep trying to stick these two individuals together.
Well, and you may be right, Trish, because I talk about not fighting on the ground that they choose. The Republicans are the ones who define themselves as the conservatives and all Democrats are liberals. Now, I'm an old-style FDR Democrat. And
my grandparents were too.
And that is classic liberalism, where everybody in America deserves a shot, and we take care of the least of our people as though they were the most. And a Republican says, well, that's liberalism. I call that Christianity with its boots on the ground. But at any rate, you're right. And so, you know, I try to say Republicans or some variation thereon. But that is the way that they have framed the debate, and I am guilty of being pulled into it. Now, conservatism, from talking to you, Trish, conservatism, as you understand it, is not conservatism as these Republican monsters envision it. Because their version of conservatism, Trish, is that everything is to be done for corporate America and nothing is to be done for the middle or lower class. And I don't think you ascribe to that.
No.
You know, you are not a conservative as they define it. I always enjoy our conversations, Trish. I do have to go, though, because we're right up against the top of the hour break.
Okay.
Always good talking to you. Take care. And your phone calls are welcome after the top of the hour news, 800-620-9967, and locally, what am I thinking, 252-6200. Sinuses. Some of this medication will make you crazy. this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
You know, influenza is serious.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma or diabetes, are 50 or older, have a child 6 through 23 months, or live or work with those at high risk, yes, get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history, depend on us. It's Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
If you seek the help of a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit cfp.net.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. As an area of low pressure aloft cruises across the southern Great Lakes, we're on the fringe of it, so it looks like the overnight hours will be generally quiet with a 4 in 10 risk of showers and 58 by morning. As we look at the afternoon, Friday, 73 return, slight chance of a shower under a mostly cloudy morning, but the afternoon will see a little sunshine. Saturday, thunderstorms back again, 71.
Knowledge is power. News Talk 620 WWNR. West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. Head on for a Thursday night, the final hour. A couple of lines open if you want to join in. 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR, 9967. Your Rockmeal has been waiting, and I sure do appreciate it. Your Rockmeal, you're head on.
Oh.
Hello.
Well, all I can say is, anything you can do, I can do better. That conversation.
Oh.
I can do anything. You know that song.
Oh, very well.
I'll tell you, when I was a kid, I'd just turn on the TV or watch some TV, and I saw that scene. And it freaked me out. Like, it was just the opposite of, everything was about, there was Dale Evans, I had no problem with that, you know what I mean?
Sure.
The style was never shocked me. She was a cowgirl.
Yeah.
But he wasn't trying to be a cowboy.
No.
And if anyone's trying to put Gloria Steinem and Bill Abzug and Hillary Clinton out of business, boy, that conversation ought to do it. Maybe they can implement their new agenda there in the cattle country. Well, anyway, I just thought I'd remark on that.
I
have a different view of women. I know I'm a sexist and I'm homophobic and I'm misogynist and chauvinist. Not that I'm any of those things, but that's what I'm supposed to be.
Okay.
But, if you don't mind, I had a few nights ago, I'm going to share this with you. I'm a very blunt person.
Yeah.
I'll share something personal.
Blunt is good sometimes.
Well, I had a dream a few nights ago, woke up in the morning, and I was dreaming about Serena. She's a dancer. She happens to be a world-class Middle Eastern dancer.
Uh-huh.
She's not a Middle Eastern person, but she's certainly she's fine, fine, graceful, accomplished dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also a student of the St. Denis. So she has papers,
Yeah.
And I woke up and I said, well, what did I have a dream about Serena? I haven't, about 10 years ago I was, learning about the dance, and I was interested in it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the main people, like her book, her video, but I said, oh, I guess, well, you can dream about anything,
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I must be doing all right, I said, why should I analyze it?
Yeah, just take it.
I just feel like I don't know if Serena would want to be, compete with the Russian women,
Yeah.
It's all right, everybody in town has their view, but I thought I'd state mine too. If they want to call you back, call me. All of those names. I don't want to mention any particular person, somebody wants to call you up.
I know.
And lambast me.
No, like, mostly your Rockmeal, I'm the bad guy.
Oh. Well, I've had people, respond to me. I like it because I know that they do it because I'm telling them the truth. I'm not, anyone who tells the truth is a gadfly.
Right, and that's the same thing that I got with this guy earlier this evening.
I like to respond to that. You know, it's not that everybody's going Republican. There is an increase in the Republican vote, definitely.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that all Republicans have gotten into office,
No.
But certainly George Bush, it's very unfortunate that we resolve our psychosocial problems by voting for a token personage in the form of the president.
Yeah.
It's a psychological thing, and it doesn't do any good for the nation to vote for a person on a psychological basis.
No, it's that's sort of irrational, isn't it?
Yeah, and they never, Ronald Reagan, the great probably going down in history, the greatest pontificator. I mean, I couldn't find enough time to talk to you about Ronald Reagan, but.
Well, they call him the great communicator, Eurocmail. I like to think of him as the great prevaricator.
Yeah, I mean pontificator, somebody who pontificates, but he's not worth it.
Right.
He, as much as he symbolized the so-called, and I say so-called conservative values, which has nothing to do with the Bible as we discussed the other night, By the way, I finally found that there's one commandment I know for sure they'll never be able to accept. I'm sure they won't be able to accept the other ones. But I finally found the one that will totally prevent them from instating the laws of Moses. And it goes like this. If a man commits adultery, he's to be stoned. They'll never be able.
No, especially the Republicans. I mean, they specialize in that
right.
kind of stuff.
And, well, anyway, but see, Ronald Reagan, he never, while he was in office, the gay movement grew in political power and became very, you know, very visible, and they took over neighborhoods.
Well, largely,
they gained more rights.
And largely that happened, Yerachmiel, as a function of the Reagan administration's absolute refusal to even attempt to address the HIV/AIDS issue. You know, regardless of the... I mean, that was the time when, before the Red Cross could certify the reliability of the blood supply, people were getting HIV/AIDS from transfusions they had during surgery, you know, little children, grown heterosexual men, and Jerry Falwell was running around calling it a gay plague. And as a consequence, you know, because the Republican Party lives in abject fear of the evangelo-fascists, they refuse to even deal with it. And, you know, thousands of people died from nothing but sheer ignorance and neglect, and that was a catalyst for the growing militancy of the gay community.
For instance, if the gay community was trying to protect itself from being blamed for everything, since they didn't address the issue on a more clinical basis.
Right.
They're just a little bit complicated, but there may be... I think the gays just wanted... I think we're living in a time where everybody, you know, everybody says, I want to be me, you know. I mean, everybody was saying that. And it's like, everybody says, I want to be me, but there's no more social definition of people where you define yourself in terms of your society. It's so individuated.
Well, and yeah. to a certain extent, though, wasn't that the goal and aim of creating this republic, to create a so-called classless society?
I know. I'm not speaking about class. I'm speaking about identity. You know, in other words, when a person feels they identify with something, it doesn't have to be a tyrannical thing. Just, you know, like I identify with. You know, the Bible, identify with the founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have identities. I have
yeah.
an ethos. And I am, to a great extent, an individual, but my individuality is based on things that I didn't try from the thin air. We're living in the age of Jack Kerouac, you know. I mean, you can't even define what he is.
Or was.
Or was, you know. In other words... You never really
well, and you know, I think that internal turmoil and conflict to a certain extent constituted his own end. I mean, you got to remember, this is the father of the Beat Generation, wrote On the Road, Dharma Bums, the Visions of Cody, on and on and on. And I thought somewhat brilliantly, but by the time he dies at age 49, I think in 1969. While eating like a 2-pound can of tuna straight out of the can, and by that time he had become a virulent anti-hippie Republican. So, you know, it ate him alive, too.
Well, what I'm saying is the homosexuality seems to me, when a person, you know, I still relate to the traditional social structure, and I think people... don't grow out of that, you know. Their ego is not developed out of a social structure. You follow what I'm saying?
No, I do.
It's just they're like in limbo. It's like they're floating in limbo, and therefore they don't. I mean, I knew a student, and when I was in the Orthodox, ages ago,
mm-hmm.
there was this young man from Philadelphia, and he had this manner. I hadn't been to Philadelphia, but when I moved to Philadelphia, I recognized him in so many people who were gay, but he was never gay. It's just that he was, his father was a rabbi, he studied in yeshiva, not fantastically devoted student. People used to joke about him. He just had a way, he had a feminine manner about him. He was heavy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little mustache, like all those guys down in Philadelphia, you know, who are gay and down on Spruce Street. And he got married, you know, he didn't leave Orthodoxy, he just, this was not all that serious as his father was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he got, I don't know what came in. Somebody might say, well, how do you know what happened to his marriage? I don't know. What I was going to say is, he just had a style. He used to talk to the rabbis like, oh, Rebbetzin, the cake was delicious, you know. And they used to joke about him. He was a little bit, just his manner, style, you know.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that too macho or anything, but, you know, just because he had this cultural environment, there was no question that he was a man. You know, he was just a little bit, you know,
effete.
Yeah, you know, effete, you know, that's a big deal, you know, but, it seems to me that George Bush, see, I think George Bush needs to thank, what's his name, Al Gore, for getting him into the White House, and John Kerry for keeping him in the White House, and to some extent, I think this extreme liberalism, I still see a parallel between what happened in the Weimar liberalism, which is extreme, and the right reaction. Of course, in those days, there was communism, and the Versailles Treaty, you know, there were many dynamics for, you know, the,
absolutely, I mean,
which drove people to become extremists. But certainly, that certainly was a part, one of the causes. And right now, I know, you know, as good as people are, I think they do feel threatened. I don't want to sound like I'm bending over backwards to be an understanding person, but, I feel that in order for them,
well, are you talking about the hard right religion industry types that are so virulently anti-gay? Is that when you say they feel threatened? Is that the group that you're talking about?
I think they feel threatened by that and several other things. You know, I don't think that's the only thing they feel threatened by.
Well, I think you're right in large part, you Rockmill. The question is are they threatened? And of course, I don't believe that they are. Because I don't see anybody trying to impose any particular lifestyle on these religion industry types, but and for me, the cry of "Oh, we're being persecuted" is hollow and opportunistic and Machiavellian on their part.
Well, I think that there's an atmosphere created. You see, what bothers me, here's the thing. The atmosphere that we live in was not created by the gays. They're a part of it. You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
The atmosphere that I feel is the Whore of Babylon atmosphere didn't begin with the gay movement. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a symptom of it.
Well, as far as, from my part, Yerachmiel, just to speak very plainly, as is my wont, I am far more willing. If we're going to be assigning blame, I'm far more willing to assign blame on television.
Toilet vision. Toilet vision.
Yeah, toilet vision. When my children, American children, when they are bombarded daily by, come on, let's face facts. These are the mega corporations that are, and they start us very young. You know, hey, little kid, hey, little girl, you have no human worth if you don't own this doll. And hey, little boy, you want this race car. And it comes forward, and it's a constant barrage of the pure material self-centeredness. Do you get my drift?
Yeah, but it's true with the smaller vision, but. It's also true with
By the way, I want to say,
a rabbi once said, putting a TV in your living room was like putting a toilet bowl in your living room. I'm serious, and I thought that was, you know, I think that was a very plain thing to say.
I think there's a ton of truth in it. You know,
but isn't this true? Like, if you go downtown Philadelphia, you want to go to a concert, right?
Yeah.
You bring your children to a concert. When you get out there, you know, and start walking around, you're going to see the newsstands. You're going to see the pornography. You're going to see the billboards, you know, if you go on the train. You're just going to see a lot of different things.
And it makes parenting maybe a little bit tougher.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
But by the same token, I can explain that kind of thing to my kids, okay? And I can shield them from a certain amount of it. What I have a whole lot harder time explaining to my kids are photographs of little Iraqi children with their limbs blown off and trying to explain to them why that child doesn't have the same human rights that my child does. That is a job, Yerachmiel.
Well, you see, they claim that it would have been worse had we not invaded Iraq, that Saddam Hussein would have done worse than that. That's what they claim. I don't hear the information coming through to substantiate that.
There is no information to substantiate
well,
it.
I asked somebody this question that you said, you know, aren't we causing, you know, havoc in Iraq, either by errant bombs or by terrorists coming in there? He said, well, they were already there. They found mass graves from recent times, not from the old conflict, you know, and when they rose up against him. And, of course, when he used weapons of mass destruction, when they rose up against him, he probably must have read Hiroshima.
Oh, it's not like this happened in a vacuum. Even his monstrosities did not happen in a vacuum.
Didn't the British establish Saddam Hussein?
Yes, well, sort, not.
How did he get there?
Okay, let's do this. We'll try the thumbnail version. The Brits bailed out, what, 1920, 1921? After they had an Iraq mire just like what we're having now. I mean, everything old is new again. It's a carbon copy. Lay one sheet on the other, they match. So the Brits get out having established, I hope I'm right on this, having established a Hashemite monarchy, I think. That monarchy lasts until maybe the 50s. At which point it's overturned by the Ba'ath Party, and a strong man comes in, and a young punk named Saddam Hussein, full name Saddam Hussein al-Tikriti, his tribe and his clan was from Tikrit, comes in and becomes a hitman for the strong man, and then in the 70s, he overthrows the other strong man, I can't remember his name, and sets himself up in power.
But the British established, I mean, the monarchy before he took over.
Yes. And in fact, that monarchy still exists in exile. I believe the guy lives in Rome. Or did.
I have to look into it because I don't know. I haven't read up on it. I intended to read up on it, but I haven't done that yet.
But a lot of that has to do with the backstabbing that went on between the French and the British at the close of the Second World War, when they broke the promises that they had made to the Arab fighters who had coalesced under Lawrence of Arabia, and they slipped the shivs to them, and eventually partitioned the Middle East in such a way that the French received rule of the artificial creation of Syria and Lebanon, and the British received rule and control of the Iraq that had been carved out.
So in a sense, they received control of it. Since they received control of it, to what extent did they control it?
Well, they tried what we're doing now. I mean, that's why I say that we're not likely to succeed over there, because we're doing everything exactly as the British did, and the British, nobody has ever been better at running the world than the British, as far as from an administrative standpoint, and even the British threw their hands in the air and said, enough, and walked away after getting, you know, nice boys from the Midlands and the Northlands and London and the Kent and Cornwall and whatnot blown into their constituent parts. They said, you know, really, this hunk of sand is not worth it.
Well, just oil there.
And
oil.
Yeah,
and oil
supply. But there was that oil was not nearly as developed as the Persian fields were, and of course the Brits had control of Persia.
Oh, yes. Well.
And that whole partition, Yerachmiel, laid the groundwork for what's happening today. Because, of course, you know, the Shia are the majority in Iran, you know that. And the artificial border creations of Iraq ghettoized a great number of Shia in the south separated from the Shia majority in Iran, to which they have religious, if not ethnic, kinship. And you know, it was a keg of dynamite with a really long fuse. And here we are, learning. And you know, it goes back, Iraq Mill, to the question that was asked of George Bush: what do you think history will say about you? I don't know. I don't think we'll all be dead then.
He said, "They're not here. We're here. They're not here."
He said, "We'll all be dead then." This
he
guy.
Said that, but he also said in another instance, he said, "They're not here yet."
Oh, that's yeah, and this is a guy who ostensibly carries a Bachelor of Arts in History from Yale.
Well, Pat Robertson has a Doctor of Doctor of Jurisprudence from Yale. So I don't know what happened to these universities, but I'm not impressed with them anymore.
It's
you know, I'm not impressed with people that say, oh, they got good, you know, there's one of these judges they're putting up for nomination now. She did well in the exam. She did this. She did that. That doesn't impress me anymore.
No.
You know, not like an Oxford University scholar from the 19th century or the 17th century, whatever. That's not what it is anymore. It just doesn't mean anything.
Well, I mean, and they lie, and people don't call them on the lies, Iraq Mill. For instance, this Janice Rogers Brown from California. They say, oh, she was elected by the largest majority, and she's a conservative in a very liberal state, blah, 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 blah. It was a plebiscite to see if she stayed on the bench. She got 71%, and her three compadres got 70%. But because she got 1% more, oh, she got the largest majority in the vote. And people, and the Republicans just expect people to swallow it whole.
Well, I think Dr. Ronald Hoffman, whatever, he has a program on, you know, from New York. He said that the way they teach medicine nowadays is like the paint by number system. Because I was wondering, when I was young, you had to be quite exceptional person to become a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be good at science and all that, you know, and nowadays, it seems like everyone, you know, every other person is becoming, it's like it doesn't take much to be a doctor anymore, and I was wondering how they do it. The answer is, they have, it's like reading the Boy Scout manual.
Yeah, it's...
You know, it's no longer, you know, it's training people, not educating people.
Well, it's the difference between an art or a profession and an avocation. Because of the specialization in medicine, you're on the other, there's a certain amount of medicine that is comprised of what I like to call squishy auto mechanics.
I'm scared to go to a doctor who looks something up in a book, just like I do. Like when I buy a new telephone or if I buy a computer or whatever, you know, hypothetically, I would get this booklet and I would start looking things up. How do you do this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They are professionals out there. They have stuff. They're constantly looking in the books.
But there's a reason.
Figure out what's going on with you and what to give you. They don't understand a doggone thing.
Well, and in many instances, they have been seduced by drug reps. You know,
yeah, give them this
pill.
The psychopharmacological and the pharmacological psychopaths.
Yeah. Your art mail, I've enjoyed the conversation, but we got a break.
Yeah, ignite.
Hey, take care. Thanks again. Okay, if you want to jump in, there's about a half an hour left. 252-6200 is the number outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Cadillac Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, great selections, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring Sales Event. shine and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices. Great selection. No hassles. Hurry, because when the spring sales have been, so do the savings. Shine and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. On select models with a blue credit. Enter screws made to purchase exactly the world price. Roll 303 for 160 months at 6.9% of your highest offer ends 5/31/05.
Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old, and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second Arthritis Walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at Newberger Park. Have fun and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug and Wellness Center at 252-5305 and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Senator Robert Byrd says he plans to deliver a group of letters to the Pentagon which show support for keeping the 130th Airlift Wing of the West Virginia Air National Guard open in Charleston. Senator Byrd says he remains concerned that the 130th may be on the Defense Department's base closure list to be released tomorrow. He says he's spoken with state, county, and local officials who are sending him letters that he'll take to the Pentagon. Senator Byrd says he's written a letter to the president and also spoken with Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, but has received no guarantees from either one. West Virginia authorities continue searching for an Ohio man wanted in connection with a Tuesday shooting and murder in Raleigh County. State police contend 23-year-old Donald Jesse of Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed 26-year-old Adrian Peoples from Columbus at a residence on Jenny Lynn Road in Eccles. A murder warrant was issued yesterday for Jesse by Raleigh County Magistrate Steve Massey. Trooper Howell with State Police says they just don't know where he is. Authorities in Putnam County continue searching for 48-year-old Carrie McClanahan of Poca, wanted for allegedly assaulting the mother of his child and then taking the child with him last Friday. Fayette County Sheriff Bill Laird says an Amber Alert that was issued after the mother notified Fayette County authorities was not a mistake. He firmly stands behind that decision. A November 2004 court order in Raleigh County gives the mother of the child sole legal custody. Warrants have been issued for Carrie McClanahan on charges of child concealment as well as domestic battery. Well, an uptown Beckley tradition continues for the first time this spring tomorrow at Shoemaker Square. For the last 15 years, during spring, summer, and early fall, Friday in the Park has been celebrated at Shoemaker Square, and the first Friday in the park this year is scheduled for tomorrow. Food vendors will be on hand offering lunch items. Friday in the Park events are scheduled to run each Friday through September 2nd, weather permitting. Weather for this evening calls for showers and thunderstorms possible. Low tonight near 57, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Then by Friday afternoon, a little bit cooler tomorrow with a high in the upper 60s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 25 minutes before 10 o'clock, I'm Bob Kincaid. This has been a rousing Thursday night. Thanks, gang. I appreciate it. Chris has been waiting patiently. Hey, Chris, you head on. Chris.
Yeah, hey there.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm actually doing pretty good today.
Good.
Actually feeling halfway decent. You mentioned Ockmail. That was a great call.
Yeah, I always enjoy chatting with your Ockmail because he takes me all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's talk radio.
Yeah, it's conversation radio.
Yeah, that is exactly what you need to have. You mentioned about Kerouac, and Kerouac started out as, you know, for lack of a better term, a visionary. He started out with all the high hopes in the world. And as he started to publish, and there was such a big stir about On the Road, and then he started getting rejections because nobody wanted to publish his books exactly or as fast as he wanted them to.
Right.
And he just became a very bitter man. Very bitter, actually. And
Being a very
his alcoholism
yeah,
got
being
worse
a
and worse.
Yeah, being a very, very heavy drinker didn't help.
No, he was by the end he was throwing up blood, so.
Yeah, and going down to bars and just picking fights to get beaten up.
Yeah, and you know, Aunt Mill mentioned AIDS, and you know, when you mention AIDS in Kerouac, you have to think of not a lot of people know or want to know, but Kerouac wasn't exactly a homosexual, but he did have things with men.
Yeah, he was bi.
He was bi. And, of course, he would never admit that.
Oh, no.
But it is, it's on the record.
Well, I mean, he was very close friends with Allen Ginsberg, just like, oddly enough, just like Michael the Savage Wiener was very close friends with Allen Ginsberg. And
I don't even want to picture that.
Oh, they sat naked in hot tubs together. I mean, yeah, they were pals.
Uh-huh. Well, Ginsberg sat naked with a lot of people.
So. Well, that's true, too.
That's
less said, the better. Less said, the better.
Yeah. You know, a lot of conservatives have still see AIDS as a gay disease, and it's not a gay disease. It, like you mentioned, it's first when it first came about, it spread more to the straight community than it did to the gay community.
Well, the gay community began to figure out literally what was causing it.
Yeah.
And tried to take efforts to stop it. Now, you know, your needle sharers, you know, a junkie is going to get their fix if they got to put it in there with a garden hose.
And as we now know, rather bluntly, a junkie or a drug addict is not always a liberal.
Yeah, no,
that
how about that?
That belief has been spread about, and, you know, it's not just because someone is using drugs or has a problem with drugs doesn't mean they're a liberal. They're a conservative, they're a liberal, they're an independent, they're Green Party, they're whatever.
One of the best, and you remind me of something, one of the best explanations of that, Chris, is in the early pages of William S. Burroughs' Naked Lunch,
mm-hmm.
when he describes what he calls the algebra of need.
Yep, exactly.
You will do what it takes.
That is exactly
to
right.
To satisfy the need.
That is clearly defined in methamphetamine, crystal meth use that we see today.
Oh yeah.
And it is not just, you know, poor rural idiotic Democrats.
No, there's money to be made, and so as a consequence you'll find any number of Republicans involved with it.
And see, and most conservatives, and quite a few Democrats. Now, you know, we can't single out a party because both parties, both of the two major commercial parties, have people that believe that it's just a gay disease, and you know, that's just that. Well, HIV in Africa kills 6,300 people a day.
Yeah, that's not 6,300 gay people.
No, that's children, that's wives, that's mothers. That's the hard-working people. 8,500 people are infected with the HIV virus every day. So 6,300 die every day, and 8,500 are infected every day.
Yeah, that's another one of those algebras, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and it all goes back to the point where, gee, what could we have done to prevent this? Well, there was a lot of things we could have done.
Well, and you talk about doing things to prevent this. Do you remember a couple of years ago when Bush touted his big AIDS initiative? Remember that?
Oh yeah. He pledged all this money.
Billions and billions.
And what did he do?
Well, what it turned out was those billions and billions had enough strings to weave a Persian rug attached to them.
Yeah. He placed all this money, and they've hardly given any of it.
I don't know that they've given out a dime because of the fact that all that money was contingent, for instance, on you have to use my corporate pharmaceutical donor's drug, but not the other guy's. That was one of them. Just a week or so ago, the... the people of Brazil said thanks but no thanks to the American AIDS Initiative because, well, for a very simple reason. In addition, they didn't want people... this is one of those that makes my eyes roll back in my head, pluck them out, dip my head in the bucket of lime, run screaming or, off a cliff.
No, see, because in Africa, you have the choice. You have three choices. One, you can live about your everyday life, if you're lucky, and survive. Two, you can be the victim of ethnic cleansing. Or three, you can die of AIDS. Or you can be infected with AIDS, a victim of ethnic cleansing, and as you're dying, infect someone who doesn't have it.
And he
may just be in the way of the fighting.
And that's part of the craziness that went on in Brazil, because we said, we're the good American United States of America, blah, 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 we're compassionate, but we're conservative, and we want to give you AIDS drugs.
Yeah.
And then the Brazilian people, Chris, read the fine print. And the fine print said, if you take this money from the United States, you promise not to tell anybody in Brazil to ever use a condom.
Well, yeah. I used to correspond with he was a former college professor. I haven't heard from him for a long time, so it just breaks my heart to think what may have happened to him. But he was an ex-college professor in Rwanda. And he was a poet, and he wrote me a letter, several letters. He wrote me one letter one time where he said he apologized for not writing me for a while, that it would have been like a week or 3 weeks before. One night, they got word, and they had to grab his wife and he grabbed their two kids and ran. Now, they didn't get in their escort and load it up with provisions and take off down the interstate. They ran. They ran through the woods. They ran through, over hills, through valleys. And he said, so, it's been pretty rough lately. So sorry I haven't gotten in contact with you. And I'm like, man.
you went through this and you had time to write me? Yeah. You were honored.
Absolutely. And I haven't heard from him for a long time, so I can just about imagine.
I hate to think
about
that.
Because all that's starting up again.
Well, but there is some good news out there. Apparently there will be something done about Darfur because oil has been discovered in the Sudan.
Yeah. There you are.
Makes
They've
you
been
sick.
Starting to hold the war crimes trials in Rwanda, and which is good in a way. But it's like bringing Tom DeLay up for trial in Washington.
Yeah.
He's not going to get convicted. He's not going to have to show up. He's not going to be like Eichmann and snap to attention and say, yavol, and say, I was just doing my duty. He's not going to do any of that. He's going to stay home.
Yeah.
And now the ethnic cleansing is starting back up again.
I know.
And you've got people on trial for ethnic cleansing who are sitting in a cell waiting to testify, who can probably look out their window and see people that are committing ethnic cleansing.
Yeah.
Well, we could do something about this. We could have done. Clinton could have done something about Rwanda.
Yeah, and if it involved white people, you can bet your last dollar we would. If there was a profit to be made out of it, you can bet your last dollar that we would.
Well, do you remember World War II? It's a very very known story that towards the end of the war, we discovered these camps. Lo and behold, look at that. They're torturing people in these camps.
I know.
But we have all this information about what's going on and what's down, and they have these many tanks here and this many tanks here, and we didn't know nothing about that.
No, of course we did. I mean...
Yeah. Most of the horrible things that happened in this world, something could be done about it.
There's a lot. Chris, negligence... who's got the slogan, apathy is deadly?
Yeah.
And it is.
Yeah.
I know.
But all we can do is try.
I know,
we can talk about it, we can write letters, that's about all we can
do. And those poor Brazilians are going to die of AIDS because they want to use condoms.
I know.
Hey,
yeah,
Chris,
if they somehow make it to Mexico and try to cross the border... And we have our good conservative Republicans that will shoot them.
Oh, I know. I know. And
take the condoms.
God.
it's a sad and beautiful world.
Yeah, well, you know, we do at least have this, the solitary benefit of, you know, that's the kind of stuff that'll drive you to drink. That's a joke.
Yes, that is true.
Chris, take care. Always good to hear from you, man.
All right, take care, bud.
Later. Okay, Rich is with us. Hey, Rich, you're head on.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, but I had a question to ask you.
Okay, sure.
I haven't been keeping up on the Congress, but I remember they had a vote not too long ago about the minimum wage. The Democrats said $2 an hour. The Republicans said $1 an hour. So they compromised and decided on nothing.
And decided to do nothing.
What's up with that?
Many more of those compromises, and we're just going to lose it.
Compromise would be $1.50, wouldn't it?
Well, what happened? It was a bunch of procedural wrangling, Rich. Democrats wanted to raise the minimum wage. Republicans let them know that in no uncertain terms they would kill it.
But they said $1.
And no, well, then they came back with their own provision that was doomed to fail because it was a raise in the minimum wage, but it also had a sort of a poison pill attached to it that said, "We're going to raise it, but we're going to change the rules about who gets it."
I was just wondering why it died in the Congress.
It died in the Senate, really. And that was because, I mean, it was a very cynical ploy on the part of the Republicans. They had no intention of raising the minimum wage, but because they had been hammered by the Democrats for killing their increase, they were going to make sure that they got their pound of flesh as well.
So nobody got anything.
Yeah, right. And we find out yesterday, from the Financial Times of London, that real wages have diminished in the United States in the highest degree since 1991.
Oh, I believe that.
So, yeah, you know, we lose. But you know, we're standing to lose all over the place. I don't know if you know the bankruptcy bill was a sham.
Oh yeah.
The estate tax repeal just truly.
It's the new world order. We're all going to make 50 cents an hour.
And be doggone glad to get it.
You're darn tootin'.
And I don't know if you noticed, Jeff called in last night to tell us that they were debating the Central American Free Trade Agreement.
Oh, good. We need to send some more Levi's down there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the more the merrier.
Yeah, they're darn tootin'.
Because, you know, there's nothing like free trade where Americans compete with people who make 35 cents a day.
Yep.
Not an hour, a day.
That's right. We won't be able to afford to buy anything at all these stores that are selling things for so cheap, because we won't have enough money to afford them.
I know, and I don't understand why the Walmarts of the world and the rest of them haven't figured that out yet. Who's gonna buy the Chinese garbage?
We won't be able to afford that.
Nope. And then, Rich, the playing field will be level because we'll all be making 35 cents a day.
God bless George Bush Sr.
I tell you, it just swells your heart with pride and makes you want to stand up and puke.
Yep, and just wait for Jeb to be running for the next one.
It's coming.
You know he's setting him up for Jeb.
Well, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about the failure of the coverage during the Republican National Convention, Rich. There was footage, and it went right down the memory hole, but there was footage that was shot of a little cluster of Republicans that said that they were just, you know, merrily bouncing their little signs up and down that said Jeb Bush 08.
Oh yeah.
And it was not broadcast more than once.
We know it's coming.
On direct orders from the RNC because yeah, we're going to get a dynasty. That's their dream.
That's the whole deal, yep.
It's all just pure ugly competitiveness because they think if they can get one more Bush in the White House, then they will have beaten the Kennedys.
That's it. And it looks like, unless we have a miracle, that's what they're going to get, isn't it?
Well, I'm praying that somebody's going to grow a real live, honest to goodness spine in the Democratic Party.
Yep.
The idea that John Kerry would run again just fills me. It makes me shake like a dog trying to pass.
I went
a peach
to see
pit.
Him up at the airport.
Oh, so did I.
Did you?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, shucks, man. I didn't see you. You probably didn't see me. They kept all us Beckley guys behind the line.
No, I managed to. My little boy did manage to get on the front page of the paper the next day, but
that's great.
Got sunburned to a crisp, and you know, John Kerry is a good and honorable man, but
yes, he is.
But these good and honorable people that say, well, you know, they're playing by very dirty tactics,
yes,
and it wouldn't be a good idea for us to do the same thing because we're above all that.
No, we got
to
be tough.
Yeah, I mean, the 30 days, Rich, that we were slimed with the Swift Boat veterans garbage.
Right.
And where was John Kerry?
He was not speaking up.
He was on a windsurfing board off Martha's Vineyard.
Exactly.
You know, those were some great photos of a man of the people.
Oh, man.
You know, and I'm not trying to goon on the guy. You know,
I know, but doggone it.
Yeah, Stan.
Who do we got?
Everybody says Hillary.
Oh, God, no. You know that's not going to work. It's not going to work, and you know it, I know it.
Yeah, like
you got to put a man in there.
You know, it'll go like a you-know-what in a punch bowl.
Yeah.
Joe Biden thinks he wants to be president.
He was Gore's running mate. Wait, no, I'm thinking of the Connecticut guy.
Yeah, that's Lieberman.
Right.
Yeah. No, Biden went after it, I think, the same year that Bill Clinton won the nomination in 92,
yep,
and got busted, really busted in a plagiarism scam.
Yeah.
So that's waiting for him.
And he's Ted Kennedy's party buddy, so.
Well, he's.
And a whole bunch we can look forward for him.
Yeah, Joe Biden's another lay down and die DLC type.
Yep.
Now there is talk of this, the governor of Iowa, who is very well thought of, a guy named Tom Vilsack.
I liked Gephardt.
Gephardt was okay with me, but I liked his appeal to organize labor, but again, he didn't have the requisite ability to stand up and punch a bully in the face,
yeah,
which is what's going to absolutely have to happen, Rich,
yeah,
if we're going to win.
Yeah, because, we need somebody.
You know, because it's gonna be Karl Rove or Karl Rove's little evil minion running the next campaign.
He's been running this whole darn thing for years.
Sure he has.
Yep.
I mean, this is a puppet presidency, and it's run by the ultimate puppet master.
Yep.
So, who do we have out there? The only consolation in this is that yeah, Jeb's there, but people think, well, you know, Rudy Giuliani, George Pataki.
No, not Giuliani.
John,
I like Jeb better than Giuliani.
John McCain, and so this is going to be the first Republican primary season that wasn't an actual coronation in probably 20 years.
Oh, golly.
So they may just bloody each other up really, really good by the time they get to a nomination process.
I hope they're in fighting mode because we need it. What did they try to do to Bill Clinton? Impeachment.
We get the House in 06. Maybe we can.
Maybe we can still impeach this little guy.
Yeah, so.
But then who do we get in charge?
The guy who's been in charge all along.
The trick
is there, you impeach the filthy lot of them.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then maybe they all resign and you get Dennis Hastert for a year or something
like
that.
I'll take anybody. I'm where, you know.
No, I know.
Jeez.
It just drives you nuts.
Just keep cutting every program you can there, buddy.
No, I know.
He's a lame duck. He doesn't have nothing to lose.
Oh, he's quacking like a flock headed south.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, he doesn't know it yet.
No?
He doesn't know it yet. And that's what makes him particularly dangerous. They're still running around thinking they're going to get away with this Social Security scam.
Yep.
I mean, is it anything but a scam?
No, it's nothing but a scam.
So I did. I'm
willing to pay $5 extra a week. I think every working American is to try to say to, but it's all a scam anyway. You know, even if I throw in my extra $5 a week and we make $26 billion a year. And
yeah,
throw it into Social Security, they'll spend it on the war in Iraq anyway.
Well, that's where it's going right now. I mean, we got, $81 billion more to throw down the Iraq rat hole as of, 2 days ago?
Yep. And it's just going to keep on pouring down there.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to find out in another 6 months, you know, that $81 billion, we lost five. We don't know what happened to it.
Yep. There we go.
And this is the group that told us we could trust them with the money?
Yep.
You know,
we knew better.
I'd rather trust a three-card Monte dealer in the New York subway with the money.
Anybody.
Sure.
Yep.
You doing all right these days, Rich? Haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, doing absolutely wonderful, Bill.
Good. Well, I tell you what, you have yourself a great night, all right?
All right, you too.
Thanks for the call.
Take care.
Take it easy.
Bye.
And with that, we wrap up. What an engaging, lively, wonderful night it was. Thanks to everybody who joined in, sitting there by your computer, by your radio, whatever you had to do. Thanks. Thanks to our zany cast, Jim, Mary Lou, Maggie, Ed, Yerachmiel, JJ, Rich, Chris, Trish, Ben, and even thanks to that sad, strange little man who wanted to scream at me. The show tonight, of course, produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are every day working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show, of course, is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. Go by and listen to the show at your leisure and some of the other fine radio that he archives as well. Tomorrow night, Friday night, we'll have our fair share of fun. 7 o'clock, I'll be here, you be here. Hey, Agnes!